If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
To play tackle in the NFL.
Well, play on the right side, right tackle, I would say yes. Because here's the thing, just like you mentioned, Trey Smith. One, I don't see Trey Smith or Joe Tooney coming out because, I mean, hell, Joe Tooney had a damn broken arm last year, and he never missed a down. I can't see, and Trey Smith and Creed Humphreys, I mean, you know, they kind of got that, you know, that right side in the middle sort of where I can't see where Kennard would get in unless you're just intent on putting them, playing them at guard or something.
No. But we've seen what happens in the NFL. What happens in the NFL, guys get hurt. You have to have backups.
No, I get you. I get you on that. I'm just saying, but again, Joe Tooney had a broken hand last year and never came out. So what I'm saying is, I mean, yeah, injuries happen. Injuries happen to Joe Tooney, but he never missed a down. He never missed a play. So I'm saying, I can't just presume, well, because injuries happen, that Trey Smith's going to get injured. I'm saying if Trey Smith doesn't get injured, and we know what type of motor that he plays with, extreme violence on the field. So, I mean, if Kennard is like that, I will put Kennard at right tackle to make sure, you know, that whole right side is very violent and nobody gets through. Now, what that does for Lucas Niang or Andrew Wiley, I don't know, but that's my answer to your question, where I don't see him as a guard. If they put him there, you know, so be it. But if it were me, I'd put him at a tackle because at least we know that that's the one position that has been injury prone last season. That was the right tackle position.
He's listed as a guard.
Correct.
If you go to KCTV5. If you go to KCChiefs.com, I was surprised after the draft to look at that, and they had him. I thought he would just be listed as an offensive lineman because obviously he played tackle in college. I'm not willing to give up yet on Niang. He looked like a rookie, but he looked like a rookie against really good outside pass rushers last year.
Exactly.
So if he's healthy, I think he'll be okay. He's significantly more athletic than Kennard in terms, if you talk to scouts, Niang is much more athletic than Kennard is. But listen, Kennard is a physical guy who wins the point of attack. Guys like that can play. Andy Reid hasn't been the kind of offensive lineman he's wanted. But they have retooled, as you guys pointed out, they really retooled the offensive line. And suddenly, last year was the first time under Andy Reid, they looked like a physical front that could just mash you. They could run straight ahead, right at you. And that's something that Andy Reid has never done, not since he took over with the Chiefs.
And look, and the biggest thing is, if nothing else, you got depth. I mean, one, because we saw how that played a role in the Chiefs' loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if nothing else, you got depth, and you got young depth. But, of course, as I always say, the biggest thing that I tell fans about the Chiefs is that you got to understand how Brett Veach operates. In me, and he has showed you who he was a long time ago when it came to Chris Jones and that initial first contract. That's why I was telling people Tyrann Mathieu's not getting a contract extension with the Chiefs, because that's just how Brett Veach is. But you know, like he mentioned to us before the draft, that with Patrick Mahomes, you're never rebuilding, you're just reloading. And so I think what this offseason has shown is that, especially when it comes to some of your skill players, if they get out of price, they have no problem trading you, getting some draft capital, let another team pay you, and then just drafting your replacement and plugging other pieces in, which is what they're going to do. Because, like, I think the biggest shock to me is that they kept Frank Clark. They restructured his contract, but the fact that you kept Frank Clark, not knowing what's going to happen with those gun charges, is one thing. And Chris Jones, I know each year I think they kind of do some stuff with his contract to where it lessens the salary cap blow, but I don't see Chris Jones getting another contract extension with Kansas City. So I think what they do is they're drafting a lot of these young players who can contribute early at a lower cost, so you can continue to pay. Well, you don't worry about paying Patrick for a minute, but I think the only other player on offense who will get a big contract is going to be Orlando Brown. Obviously, you're going to do something with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith as long as they stay healthy in a couple more years. Mecole Hardman, we'll see what type of breakout year he has. And obviously, Travis Kelce, you know, he'll be around as long as Patrick wants him around. I think he's going to be Patrick Gronkowski for, you know, as long as he stays healthy. No, seriously, I mean, because, you know, they talk about he might be 36, but seriously, I mean, you know, Gronk is a shell of himself, but as long as Tom Brady's there, you know, he's got a job. And so, I mean, you know, Travis Kelce was Patrick's groomsman. I don't, you know, I don't see that just like, you know, I'm just gonna let you cut him. Like, nah, you know, I'll restructure my contract. You get his man, you know, another 3-year extension and let him play till, you know.
Well, look at his numbers.
Exactly.
You're right. He plays. Oh, listen, you brought up something. Two words in the same sentence that I'm not sure fit together, and that is Hardman, Mecole Hardman, and breakout. I don't see that. Those two. Do you really believe? And listen, this is a marvelous player, and he makes big plays. But I think he is what he is. After 3 years in Andy Reid's offense, can we just say he is not going to be one of those guys that has a 1,500-yard season with 10 touchdown catches? That's not what he does.
No, I don't see it. And look, if there's ever an opportunity for him to do so, it would be this year. But the one thing I keep telling people is that, the you know, muscle memory. And I tell folk that all throughout last year, when people were talking about, you know, Patrick spreading the ball around, when it came to the fourth quarter, he was looking for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Now, in the AFC Championship game, I don't know what the plays were called that, you know, he went to, I think it was McCole twice or whatever. It is what it is. But muscle memory, when those situations, because we saw against Buffalo, he was going for Kelce, he was going for Tyreek Hill, and everybody knew where he was going, but they couldn't stop it. But, no, I'm with you. Look, my biggest issue with McCole is what I saw in that video the other day where he talked about how he spent his first $1 million. I'm like, bro, you $40,000 on shoes, like, I mean, that's people's a year salary sometimes, man. And you talking about you spending on shoes.
You're a guy that has the best suit collection in town, and you're criticizing a millionaire for spending $40,000 on shoes.
Well, first of all, it helps that those, you know, you're not gonna put me on blast. Okay? You know, it's called a suit sponsor. Okay, so that's what happens. Okay, so it'd be different if I was paying $600-$800 for every suit. I ain't, and I'm proud of that too, because those suits are mine. So yeah, I'm not. So if I have to flex, I'll do that. Now retail over the last few years, it might equate to what he spends on shoes. But again, that ain't my fault. Those are free versus his. You know, now if you invest the money and you get an offer that, that's fine. But if you just look. I ain't counting a person's money. My thing is, I just want you to be smarter about it, and you don't have to publicize everything. Like, whose business is it what you spend your money on like that? Because the first thing is, okay, if you don't get a second contract or you don't get that big, because I keep telling people, this is what the thing about DeMarcus Robinson and other players, like, what you do on film, that's your resume tape. And so if you don't have a breakout year, again, that's like Tyron. The reason why I keep telling people that he didn't get a contract extension for Chiefs or even offer one, because, bro, we saw what you did on film, like all this jumping around, throw your hands up when Dan got bombed or something, and then you come and Olay a tackle to where somebody gets a tackle, you come run and slap him and try to get an assist on a tackle. Man, people see that on film. I'm like, so it's not the Chiefs didn't want you. They just saw your play on field, and, you know, it didn't justify a contract extension. So, I'm with you. Hopefully, Mecole Hardman, you know, and look, the biggest difference I tell people between Mecole and Tyreek's rookie year, he wanted to be a number one wide receiver. He worked at it, and you know it, Neil, he worked on it in the offseason. So in 2017, Patrick's rookie year, I mean, that's when Tyreek had a breakout year, because he spent that whole offseason of his rookie year, after his rookie year, working to be a precise route runner and everything else, to where he could go out there, where he got into the starting lineup with Alex Smith. Now, Alex couldn't throw it past 3 yards, but he still broke out for 1,000-plus yards. And then we saw what happened the following year with Patrick's first year. You know, when he had Tyreek, he had Kelce, I think he had Wilson, and along with Kareem Hunt. I mean, that's when the Chiefs' offense just took off. And so Mecole never did that, because every year I asked him, how would you grade yourself? He was like, oh, C, C minus. I'm like, well, bro, if you know that, then why are you not in the offseason doing it? Because my thing is, you were initially drafted to replace Tyreek when we thought the whole, you know, stuff was Tyreek wasn't going to make the team. So that was your expectations when you came, that people had of you. But Tyreek put in the work. You never put in the work that Tyreek did to become a number one wide receiver. So if you're supposed to get that second contract that you want, bro, you got to ball out. Now, I don't think he does it, but, you know, hopefully if he surprises us, then the Chiefs will have a good year. But, you know, like we told Brad yesterday, don't talk about going back to Super Bowl. Just get through the AFC Championship and get through the second half of the game first before you, you know, talk about a Super Bowl trip again.
Well, you know, you bring up something about Tyreek Hill that I think that most people don't know because they don't have the benefit of being around him at practice.
Yeah.
Practices are closed nowadays. I got a chance to follow him around at a high school practice. He was a volunteer coach at Lee Summit North High School. This guy was a complete and total professional. He talked to these young receivers and these defensive backs about steps, about the way you break. He talked about how you have to break consistently on every play. You have to catch everything. Never look back at the quarterback and complain. Never show your quarterback up. It's not your job to get a perfect pass. It's your job to catch wherever it is, make adjustments. And we saw that, and that's what I think made him different from a lot of guys who came out of college with an unbelievable quickness and speed. We all saw that rookie year, even during the preseason, how he could adjust the balls that were underthrown, deep passes. And we've seen it. How many games did he win with massive plays where Patrick just threw it up, scrambled around, and then threw it up, and Tyreek was deep down the field, and he just, at 5'10 or whatever he was, he out-jumped, out-maneuvered bigger, taller defensive backs and made plays. This guy was an unbelievable professional. His approach to preparation of games, he reminded me a lot of Tony Gonzalez, who would stay after practice and catch 100 balls every day during training camp. You know, the best player on the team, the glamour boy, he was no glamour. That was all hard work. And Tyreek Hill, they're going to miss him. They're going to miss him in that room because I think he was so professional. Fellas, I'm going to have to go in a few seconds.
We were just getting in the segment for you, man. Just want to thank you for
I want to leave it with one question for you guys. I was asked this on a radio show right after the draft, and I was talking about, hey, I think that they've really got some good guys. And a show host in, of all places, Buffalo, New York, said, are the Chiefs better or worse as of today than they were at the end of the year their quarterback at safety, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, the guy who lined everybody up, who was a leader? Without him and without Tyreek Hill, are they a better football team? And I had to say, on paper, no, they're not. So I'm going to leave you with that question so you can chew on that a little bit. Darren, thank you so much for having me on, and happy Mother's Day to all you guys. Good talking to you fellas.
Always, man. I'll see you at practice soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care. So, look, we're going to take a brief time out. You're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas.
Welcome back to The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Dylan, that was a nice little happy Mother's Day out there to all the women out there, baby mamas, wives, divorcees, all that good stuff. I was not expecting that coming back from break, so I appreciate you lighting up the mood some. But Jordan Tucker, along with Dylan, still here with us on the ship. Thanks once again to Neil Jones for joining us on the show today. Jordan, some of the weekly NFL news. I've got to tell you, the first thing that comes to mind, Tyrann Mathieu finally got a new home. Signed a three-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, he was great for the community here in Kansas City. I am very happy that he, you know, was able to find him a new home. I tell people all the time, I don't like you putting your problems on social media like he was doing. I don't know if he thought Twitter was a good place to sit on the couch and vent out your frustrations or your cries out for plea or whatever. But you know, I got tired of him whining about his contract situation with the Chiefs, and thankfully, he signed with the New Orleans Saints. Going back home, you know, it's good that you can always go back home. But shout out to Tyrann Mathieu, because I think we were talking a little bit about it yesterday. the Chiefs practice where it's hard. No, I think we were talking about on our show that we did on Friday that it's hard to imagine that he's been in the league for 10 years already. Mm-hmm. And he's not even 30 years old. So the fact that he was able to go to LSU, I guess at a young age, played 3 years of football, and come to the NFL, he wasn't even, 19, 20 years old. Like, bro, you have had a long NFL career. So he's got some mileage on there. But could there be he saw the entirety of his contract with Kansas City. So it's like, bro, wasn't like you wasn't, and you didn't go broke. You invested and did your money wisely. So he had a 3-year, $42-48 million deal with Kansas City. He signed a 3-year deal, I guess, around $33 million. I can't remember how much is fully guaranteed with the Saints, but your thoughts, the fact that he's now playing for his hometown team, gets a chance to play, with some great players on defense. That's going to be a good defense. They're going to be taking on Tom Brady, so he gets to get in his face twice a year now, mm-hmm. if he wants to. And the good thing with the Saints is somehow they swept them the last 2 years. They were horrible last year, but when it came playing against the Bucs, they seemed to have Tom Brady's number.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, Darren. A lot of people, when you look at Tyrann Mathieu, think he's 35, 36 years old because, he came out of LSU, he went to Arizona, then he went to Houston, then Kansas City, and now he's in New Orleans. So he's been around the league a little bit, but I still think he's a phenomenal talent. I just don't think that his market value is what he expected this offseason. So, it's happy to see him go back home. The one thing I like the most is how the Chiefs really just – opened up the door and kind of let him know that they did value his time here in Kansas City. So I saw that on social media. But for all players out there, Twitter can't help you. When you go into your negotiations,
we can't
help you. So what is Juan complaining to us going to do? We can't call Veach and say, hey, give Tyrann Mathieu a deal. So I think they try to spin the narrative of the fan base, back towards the organization. But it certainly does work in their favor. But like I said, I'm happy to see Tyrann Mathieu go back home. I think that defense is going to get an uptick by having him there. Great secondary that they're adding. Like you said last year, even though the Saints didn't necessarily have their quarterback, they was competitive. Now, of course, Sean Payton is going to be gone, and we'll see how that all works out. But they was competitive last year, and as you mentioned, they beat Tom Brady and the Bucs twice. And, so we'll see how that works out. But I'm happy for the Honey Badger.
And then also – You can't call the fan base toxic, no matter how how.
As soon as you do that, it's out.
Yeah, you and Anthony Hitchens, man, y'all, you can't do that because at the end of the day, they're still going to be here.
Yeah,
toxic or not, they're still going to be here, and you're not. So, also big news: Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones involved in a minor car crash. Taken out, and there's footage out there. I don't really like car crash footages because I've been in a few of them in my time. Mm-hmm. But it looked like he was the cause. He looked like he T-boned someone.
So it looks like whoever it was that he hit turned left in the wrong lane. So he came across traffic. He did a wide left turn. It looked like Jerry was flying. Now, I'm not sure because I still haven't found out. Was Jerry actually driving or
they just said he was driving.
So that's another concern because we all know Jerry.
No, but Jerry, why are you driving?
Yeah, why is Jerry? Like, you have a helicopter.
You just fly everywhere you want to go, even across the street.
And so, and if you've ever been to Dallas, Harry and Hines is kind of like the truce of Dallas. So it's like, what is Jerry Jones doing driving on Harry and Hines? At that time of day. So who knows? But, it's good to see that Jerry Jones is okay. I think that, what people have to understand, I was trying to explain this on Twitter, that Texas has a 50% law. So you have to be proven that you're over 50% liable for the cause or you still have the right to sue. So, even though I think the driver that was T-bone, was doing a wide turn, it looks like Jerry was flying. He was speeding in that lane. So, it's going to be interesting. I think Jerry, just with the money he has, is just going to pay here some hush money. We don't want to battle us out in court and go back and forth. It was good to see Jerry Jones. He's all right. But, Jerry got some explaining.
I wish I could just get one. Oh, no, let me not say it because I don't have to be say pause. But I wish in a vehicle Jerry Jones would rear in my vehicle, in my truck. I want him rearing nothing else.
If I got hit, man, I'll hop out that car and saw Jerry Jones, man, I'm falling all over the floor. My neck in my back.
$2 million. Write the check now, Jerry. Just cash at me.
Cash at right now. Yeah, we got no details.
Cash at me and we are good to go, Jay. I will keep quiet. Hey, man. So as much as I know my guy Steve Walls loves some Drew Lock, Coach Pete Carroll wants us to believe that Drew Lock would have been the first quarterback picked in this year's draft. Now, considering that's a low bar, that could possibly be true just because he meets the average height. But he says that he doesn't see his team trading for a quarterback for the start of 2022, which means, I don't know, Baker Mayfield, you might still be stuck in Cleveland. I mean, I don't know. I mean, one, I don't like his Drew Lock comment because you're putting undue pressure on a kid who's not going to perform.
Right.
And then two, you need Baker Mayfield. As much as I don't like Baker, and I think he needs to get up out of Cleveland, you know, he needs to go to Seattle, get a new fresh start. And him saying, now, I don't know, it could be a negotiating thing where, you know, you're just trying to tamp down the value or you don't want to, you know, be seen as, you know, really be that interested, and then you try to make a move for him. But is Pete Carroll going to see now on us?
I understand what he's doing. He's trying to protect this new quarterback, right, and give him, you know, give him some encouragement. Now, I do agree with his statement that he would probably be the first quarterback off the board if he was in this year's draft based off coming off of college. But he's been in the league at Denver. We've seen what he has to do at the NFL level. So it's a different conversation, right, because I just don't think that Drew Lock has what it takes to be at the next level. I think he can be, you know, you're kind of your backup guy. But what I really think Pete Carroll is doing, they're kind of having him as the bridge quarterback for next year, because next year's quarterback class is a lot stronger, and I think that's where they're really going to try to go get their quarterback. A lot of these teams are, to be honest with you. So it goes back to the whole Baker Mayfield conversation that we had on Saturday. It was just like, where is going to be the opportunity for him to play? And I just don't see his value being that high where a team's going to want to give up anything of value that Cleveland might see to not only take on the contract but also bring in Baker Mayfield. So I think we might see a situation where the Browns might hold on to Baker a little bit in case an injury or something happens. But, you know, I felt like Seattle was going to be one of those places for Baker, which doesn't sound like that's going to be the case.
I mean, he's really running out of options, running out
Atlanta,
of teams.
Atlanta, maybe, you know, but I don't think Atlanta's going to, you know.
I don't even think Pittsburgh wants him now because.
Nah, exactly, yeah. So it's just like not Baker Mayfield, not for that price, and not for probably what the Browns are wanting. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Browns end up cutting Baker, which I doubt. You might want to keep him because
well,
at the
you
end
don't
of
know
the day,
situation
you still don't
with
know
Deshaun,
about it. Yeah. Exactly, with Watson. So there could be a suspension that could be hit for Watson. So,
but here's the thing, though. I mean, how quickly is Jacoby Brissett able to pick up that offense? Because, you know, he is going to get a chance to, you know, training camps and all this stuff leading up to the game. Now, granted, Baker obviously knows the offense because he's been there, you know, the last 3-4 years. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're still looking at a scenario where he is truly running out of options because when you stop it, and this is what I always talk about, you know, with these quarterback drafts, whatever, a lot of these teams either have their franchise quarterback or they've drafted them or they, you know, signed players with, you know, they got some ironclad contract. Perhaps you could have, you know, you could have gotten over to Carolina, but, you know, but they didn't want to make that deal because I guess, I mean, and here's the crazy thing is Cleveland is going to have to take on the majority of that contract. And so why you're making it seem like a team is going to trade with that big contract, knowing that you got to pay it regardless of if they trade for him or not, or you cut him, you got to pay for him. I would have thought, and like when you look at the teams in the league, did you want to say something, Dylan?
Oh, my bad. No, yeah. I was just going to pipe in about the Pete Carroll comments because Pete Carroll's kind of slick, I think. He made that comment about we have no intention of trading Russell Wilson, and lo and behold, ends up getting traded. I'd like to ask Pete Carroll where Drew Lock ranks in Baker Mayfield's draft, not this draft class, because that's really the important question, really.
That's a good question.
He would have been.
Yeah, go ahead and lie. You know?
He'd have been chomping down on that gun pretty hard.
No further questions. You know? Yeah.
No, that's a good one, Delica. That's a good question because I'm not sure he'd be able to answer that. Well, he definitely wouldn't be answering that truthfully.
I still don't understand how Baker Mayfield went number one in that class anyway, but, you know.
Skip Bayless, that's the only thing I can think of, the cheerleading these people. But if you stop and look around, I mean, can't be Detroit, and I'm just looking at look at the AFC. I mean, outside of, I would have said Pittsburgh.
Houston.
But Houston's all in on the pick that they did last, on the guy that they had last year.
Right.
Obviously, you know, he's not going, I mean, there's really no team. Seattle. Yeah. In the NFC, maybe, you know, the Saints, but they're going to be tied into Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Carolina, you had opportunity, didn't do nothing there. I don't think they're going to do any. Yeah, you can't do nothing in the NFC North. And, I mean, Washington's got Carson Wentz. Yeah,
right.
And you know, maybe the Giants, but yeah, you just don't, you got no options, man.
Right. And I think it was that the Browns, like we spoke about yesterday, was that the Browns kind of thought they were a long shot to get Deshaun Watson and kind of fell in their lap. Like, oh, they didn't have any escape plans for Baker Mayfield. So I feel like if they would have got it more of a heads up, because honestly, I still don't know why Deshaun Watson picked Cleveland anyway. They said it was because it wasn't because of the money. It was because, you know, what they, it was all about the money.
Well, no, look, two things can be true. Money was obvious because right. of the guarantees and then how they structured it in case he got suspended. Mm-hmm. You know, because his contract was already like $346 million, mm-hmm. and then they tacked on the other $84 million. So it was like, it made that fully guaranteed. So when you got a 5-year fully guaranteed contract, man, I'm okay.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, you know, of course, Deshaun had to lie a little bit.
But they do have a hell of a team. I mean, on paper, they have a hell of a team. They just didn't have the quarterback. I mean, mm-hmm. look, you had Odell to, you know, wherever credit is credit, wherever, and he might not have been 100%, but you had Jarvis Landry. Now you kind of upgrade with Amari Cooper because, you know, someone who comes to Cowboys, you know how much that's going to be, you know, how much of a loss is going to be to Dak Prescott. But you got those two stud running backs. You had a top five. You got a top five offensive line. So mm-hmm. you don't. And so he wanted to worry about getting beat up behind that line like he was in Houston. Mm-hmm. So that's going to give him time. You got Njoku at the tight end. He's a big tight end. I think he's mm-hmm. bigger than Kelsey, mm-hmm. and he's got some wiggle. And then you draft a few more wide receivers that you know you get them in that mix. And the thing is, with Deshaun at quarterback, you don't have to worry about mistakes being made. You don't have to worry about fumbles and interceptions mm-hmm. as much as you did with Baker Mayfield. So what's that going to do? That's going to give the defense opportunity to rest and perform well. You know you got a Ward in the backfield. You obviously got Miles Garrett, mm-hmm. and so and if they bring back the defense or anybody else, I'm saying you give that defense a chance to make plays and rest and when they create a turnover, you got a quarterback that can make that can capitalize on that and put them ahead. So I'm not going to compare the Chiefs and the Browns together, but quarterback wise, I trust Deshaun Watson back there than more so than I do Baker Mayfield because I know when Altrue presents himself, he's going to make the right plays, mm-hmm. whether it's running the football, handing it off, throwing the ball. He's not going to put the ball in harm's way. He's not going to put your receivers in danger. I like Cleveland and what they're going to do with Deshaun Watson. And look, if by chance they can bring back Jarvis Landry to go along with Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. it's going to be a hell of an offense, bro.
So let me ask you this. Where do you put Cleveland as far as the AFC is concerned?
Overall, mm-hmm. it honestly depends on how many games Deshaun Watson gets, yeah. because you know he's like Eddie Murphy. He's going on. It wasn't me. I mean, he's going with that all the way to the grave, and I'm not mad at him. I mean, mm-hmm. if you feel like he didn't do nothing, you know, so be it. Now, if he was there all 17 games, I'd put him at least in the semis of the AFC. I put him top four. I would put him, you know, in the divisional matchup where they could if they got a home game, I could see them going to the AFC Championship game, maybe facing Buffalo, maybe facing Kansas City, maybe hosting it. I mean, it really just depends, you know, on the schedule and stuff like that. We, you know, we'll talk about that in the next segment about the schedules because it's coming out this week. But I'd have to look at their opponents and which I'll probably do as we go to break. But let me pull that up now. I do like the fact that they do have an opportunity to, to make some stuff happen. But even if he's suspended 8 games or 6 games and gets it reduced to 4, I think Jacoby Brissett, depending on, again, Cleveland Browns, their opponents, Cleveland Brown 2022 opponents, depending on what their schedule looks like, and I'm looking at here, they got Washington, Atlanta. I mean, they got some cupcakes that they can take care of. Mm-hmm. The Jets, depending on the Saints, look like the Dolphins. I mean, again, Houston Texans, depending on what their schedule, how it's laid out, and the games that he misses, I could see them going 2-2, 3-1. I mean, and I trust Jacoby Brissett enough to where he's not going to make those type of mistakes that a Baker Mayfield. And even if Baker Mayfield's there, I still think he would have to play well because it would affect his contract for the following year. But I think Cleveland's going to be okay. I'd say they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you make the playoffs, anything can happen. So I think they're top 7. Dylan, did you want to add in on something, or what do you think, Jordan? Where do you think they end up?
Yeah, I agree. I think that would probably put them. I'm trying to think about the AFC North, and I think I would probably put Cleveland. This is with Deshaun Watson getting the full schedule, right? I think I would put them as the favorites coming out of the North.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, because in Cincinnati, it's just Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. I mean, yeah. You can do something with that, but again. Because of the talent that they have, now it's really going to come down to coaching. Because with the talent they have, again, I trust Deshaun to make the right decisions. And with that defense and players playing, because Miles Garrett, Ward, they're going to have to live up to those contracts, and they would. But again, you can't always put the defense on the other side when you turn the football over. Baker Mayfield, wasn't the playoffs, but I think it was against the Packers. He had a 4-interception day. You can't have that. Deshaun's not going to have one of those type of games like that. And if you're doing that, then, you know, you get a chance to, you know, perform well.
And it's going to be interesting to see how does their offense change up with Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper and his wide receivers, because now you have the capability to air it out a little bit more than what you had. I feel like they ran the ball a lot to really protect Baker. But now, you know, you have Nick Chubb, and you also have Kareem Hunt, but you do have Amari Cooper, you have Njoku, you have Deshaun Watson. Like, is it going to be more balanced approach, or were they going to be more, you know, air attack? So it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to try to put up numbers, because I feel like they have the weaponry to do it, you know, in Cleveland. So they might change the way the offense looks now, so they have a quarterback that's capable.
One thing I know before we go to break is that Deshaun Watson loved the Chiefs offense when they had Kareem Hunt. Now he's got Kareem Hunt on his team, and obviously Nick Chubb. At the end of the day, they're going to care about winning. It doesn't matter how, because, you know, I tell players all the time, if you win, everything else will come with it. Uh-huh. Your numbers will come, you know, and even if the numbers aren't what they want, at the end of the day, if you get a ring, what's it going to matter? See, that's all. I keep trying to tell people, you know, don't. It's good to be selfish, but you got to be selfish in the bigger picture.
Right.
So, look, I'll take a quick time out. Come back. We're going to look at this NFL schedule release that's coming up this week and talk about some of these international games, because welcome back to the ship with Derek Smith. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 810WHB.com. Derek Smith with you in studio on this Mother's Day. Joined as always with Mr. Jordan Tucker, J. Tuck. Talked about earlier, you know, my mom's beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. Somebody that from time to time, I blacked out and either hung up the phone on my mom and she threatened to come down to Jeff City and whoop my ass, or just like my car dropped in my bed. They realize, like, oh, did I just hang up on my mama? Yeah. Ooh, let me hurry up and call it back, or I will not be getting spaghetti for dinner tonight. Hey, man, I tell the story all the time. I told it on this podcast, man, where I went to me and my auntie, my mom's baby sister. We were a year apart in age. And we were going to Woodland Elementary School down on 8th and Woodland, Kansas City. And the principal of the school was a member of our church. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the fourth or fifth grade, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I honestly have no idea what the scenario was, but we were, you know, we were eating breakfast before class, or before our class start. And so, you know, we're just sitting there, we're eating, talking, whatever. And my teacher, I don't know if she confused me with somebody else. You know, she was a middle-aged, I guess at that time, she was probably about in her 30s or something like that. For whatever reason, and I don't know what, we were just talking, you know, get ready to start school or whatever. She just came and just snatched me up out of my seat. Like, what the, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm a kid, I'm like, I'm freaked out. I'm like, what's going on? She just snatched me up, and I don't know what the scenario was. Mm-hmm. All I know was she snatched me up out of my seat in the cafeteria. So, big scene, big commotion. I don't know what's going on. I ain't do nothing wrong, because and all I remember was my auntie telling my mama, and my mama telling the principal, I'll be up at the school shortly. Now, my mom at the time worked for our pastor, who was a elected official. So the principal knew what had happened, didn't know why things happened, because it wasn't me. So she, you know, falsely accused me of something. I don't know, because, you know, where we at. But all I remember was my mom came up to the school. She asked the principal. His name was Nathan. His name is, I don't know if he's still alive, but his name is Nathan Cruikshank. She said, "Where's this classroom, man?" He told her, and all I remember was he didn't have security. He said, "Leave it alone." Mom walked into that classroom and beat the holy hell out that teacher. I'm talking like, and everyone thought, I said, "No, you don't understand." Like, I was in shock. Like, I was thinking, you know, because I'm thinking I did something wrong. Because I'm like, I don't, you know, because my mom said she's going to go to school the next day. And she just came in and whooped, I mean, dragged the teacher all over the classroom. And so, mind you, now I was just thinking, like, damn, I'm gonna really be in trouble now because my mama, you know, she, you know, I'm thinking, I'm a, nah, man. And it, and was interesting. Teacher didn't want to press charges. She knew what was up. My mom was hoping she was gonna try to press charges, and you know, nothing ever happened. Never got in trouble. Principal never reported. I mean, what's he gonna do? You know, tell me, you know, he ain't gonna tell my mom, get my mom fired from our pastor's church. Nah, it was was like, it was a whole clue. But you know, but that was one thing. That's one of the times where I was like, man, my mom about that action, and she, you know, she protect, you know, protect her kids, man. And because again, it'd be different if I did something wrong. Because trust me, I have seen my mom go up to school, go up to the schools and discipline us. When we did something wrong, man, I'll tell the story because I know she's not listening. My sister one time, and I think it was either middle school or high school, she smacked somebody in class. Called my mom at work, told her. But mom left her job, working from a pastor or whatever, left her job, came up to the school, walked into my sister's class. Oh, I'm such a wrong. Smacked the hell out of her, and went back to work. Like nothing. She just came up, just damn,
right,
and just went right back to work. Now you talk about embarrassing. That's the stuff you can't live down, man. So you know, shout out to moms who are disciplinary like that. Because my mom, she's about that action, man. So just had to say that. I tell you all the time, you ain't never got to worry about me going to jail doing something wrong. Because man, I just think about it. People always say, I'm 40-something years old. They always be like, damn, why you always say yes sir or no sir? It's like, I always feel like my mom's standing behind me. She smacked me upside the hell.
Still,
you know,
to this day.
To this day, man. You know, I'm older than people. Yes sir, no sir. It's just how it is, man, because if I don't do it, I feel like she's going to smack me, and I ain't got time for that, you know.
Yeah, my mama's magic words is, if I have to leave my job, that if I had to leave my job, and you know, I was always knew that. So, you know, sometimes I'll be messed up in school, and I can always hear my mom's keys. That's the first thing, like them keys jingling. My mom's here, you know, and it's like, what did you do? And it's like, all right, but you need that disciplinary. I mean, it's tough love.
And man, moms would tell you, she's like, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. I'd be like, man, whatever. And she's like, yeah, you might be able to kick my ass now, but you you got one time. Like, I ain't taking it one time because I know I'm going to need you. So no, I ain't finna do that. But shout out to all the moms out there, man, because, you know, she did a lot of praying, keeping us out of jail and keeping us out of trouble and stuff when it mattered most. So very much so, love her very much. But Jordan, you know, this week, another event takes place in the NFL. It seems like there's something always taking place in the NFL now. And this week we got the schedule release that's coming up on Thursday night on FS1 and NFL Network, and I think ESPN will probably do something as well. But last Wednesday, the NFL released their international dates. Now, I was really pissed because I woke up 6 o'clock in the morning waiting to find out if the Chiefs were going to Munich, Germany to play Tampa Bay, because I had the debit card ready. I already had my airline ticket, hotel ready. I was going to be gone for like 6 days, just ready. I was going to renew my passport. I was ready for all that. And then they announced it was going to be Seattle Seahawks. I'm like, are you serious? Now, I don't know about you, but when the schedule came out, or when the international, maybe outside of Minnesota and the Saints, to an extent, I guess 49ers, depending on if they're good at the time against the Cardinals. But these were some very horrible NFL matchups that they had. And you know, I really believe that had Tom Brady not came back, Chiefs would have gone over there. But now, even the Chiefs PR people believe they'll be hosting, you know, the Munich game next year because they'll have 9 home games, and so that'll be one of the games that they use for the international tour. But were you excited about these matchups at all? You know, Vikings, Saints, Giants, Packers, Broncos, Jaguars, Seahawks, Bucks, and 49ers, Cardinals?
No, I feel like they were kind of throwaways. And me personally, it's like, do you really even watch the London games? Because they start so early on, you know.
Well, I actually did. Well, I mean, if they were good matchups, yeah. But, I you know, and I like, plus I was gambling. You know, So if I'm watching.
They always mess up my fantasy football roster because all of a sudden it's this 8 o'clock game going on. But, you know, the Cowboys have a huge imprint over the UK, and there was expectations that the Jaguars and Cowboys were going to be playing over there in London, but it looks like that didn't happen as well. So it looks like I'm hearing rumblings that they're trying to save the Cowboys from Mexico, which would be a massive game. But like I said, when I look at these games, man, it's just kind of throwaway games. It's just nothing really excited me and stood out. You know, it's just, I know the NFL is trying to expand their footprint, you know, overseas and everything, but you got it. And I'm hearing that a lot of the players, they don't even like these games anyway because it throws them off their rhythm. So I think that, you know, some of these teams maybe have stepped forward.
But see, usually when you play overseas, you get the following week off.
Right. Yeah, but it could throw you off, though. You know, you're traveling all the way overseas, what, 13 hours sometimes?
No, it's not that. It's like, depending on where you – now, if you're coming from Seattle and you're going over there, depending if you're going forward or backwards, it just depends on where you're at location-wise. It's so, like, from Kansas City to Munich is 7 hours. From Kansas City to Germany is 6 hours. So that's – you know, that's because I was there in 2015 for the London game and would have been going, obviously, for this game. But, you know, the thing is, you can't have a Sunday night football game. I mean, technically it could be Sunday night there in the country, but it's only noon, 1 o'clock here, you know, and it's on the stateside. So, and you're not going to have a game at 3 o'clock in the morning over there.
What's the average ratings for those London games?
Locally, obviously, in those countries, it's massive, and they do. I mean, look, they do make money because even the London game against the Detroit, again, it was the Detroit Lions, man. That was there. It was over 80,000 people at that stadium, but it's funny because by the time the game ended, it was like a 3 o'clock game, but it was an early game back in Kansas City. The time and it looked like a night game. That's a beautiful atmosphere, you know, at the Wembley Stadium and the open hole. You know, I mean, it was a beautiful atmosphere, but it's still.
From what I hear it's like more scattered NFL fans though, so it doesn't feel like a football game, right? So if you had the Chiefs and Bucks, let's say, overseas in Germany. Like, if you're going to see Packers fans there, you're going to see Raiders fans, Cowboys. So it's not going to feel like a home field advantage. It's not going to feel like a home game. People are just there just to see the NFL versus kind of like a Pro Bowl. You know, it's just like.
Yeah, and look, I do still think because you're going overseas, one, it's an expensive ass trip.
You're right.
Versus Mexico. Now, Mexico, you know, you can take but it's still the same time zone, so you get a bigger draw. So, like, when the Chiefs played down there a couple of years ago against the Chargers, you know, that was an easy game for a lot of Chiefs fans they wanted to go to because it's still on the same, you know, same time zone, continentals, you know, continent stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about traveling overseas and anything like that. But, you know, so you can get a greater home crowd there, and again, it's gonna sell out regardless, or at least have a nice footprint. I just think that, you know, if you're trying to, you know, have a great game or build a great, you know, you gotta have some good teams involved. I mean, the Saints and the Vikings. I don't think either one of those teams made the playoffs last year. You know, the Giants sucked. The Jaguars, they suck, but they got a deal where, you know, I think the owner owns a soccer team or part of Wembley or whatever, Shad Khan. And, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, Tom Brady coming back. Man, I really wanted to be at that game. And then, you know, now Estadio Azteca, that's a hell of a stadium. He ain't got no elevators. You're going to do a lot of walking. But that's a hell of a stadium and a hell of an atmosphere for NFL football. Being that I've been to that in Wembley Stadium. So those are both two great places for football if you have good teams. It just happened to be a good game that the Chiefs won that game against the Chargers. Now they did have four interceptions against Phillip Rivers that game, but it was still a great battle in that game. And the Chiefs, you know, that was one of their footprints as well. So a lot of Chiefs fans, that was the year they were going to win the Super Bowl. So you kind of actually, I think that was a game that it might have been that game or the game before, because if I remember correctly, they lost to the Tennessee Titans. And I think that next game might have been the Mexico City game, and so that was kind of like one of the games that got them to start that 9-game winning streak as they marched on to the Super Bowl. So
let me ask you this: do you ever see the NFL planning a team over there? I know there's been talks about it.
I think you're talking about it, but if they could figure out, because you got to deal with the whole time zone issue and then the breaks, you know, the bye week stuff, it's hard for me to see. I could see a scenario where they play more international games, but you would have to, if you're going to do that, you'd have to have more games in the same time zone, one, two time zones, to where, you know, you do something in Canada. I would say Brazil, I'd love to go to Brazil, but you got to do, or if you're going to do it, you know, perhaps you could play it in the Rose Bowl or Alabama or something like that. I don't know where they would look at doing it, but you know, if you're going to do overseas, man, that's the hardest part. It's the time zones. That's what you can at least account for. You know, if you play it down south, you know, Brazil or Canada or Mexico, you know, you can deal with the time frame because it's still, and you can make that like the Mexico game. That's a Monday Night Football game. Dylan?
I was just going to say, I think you have a team in Canada before London, just because you got Toronto and Montreal that you could get to and keep the number even as well, East Coast, West Coast.
Yep. Yeah, and so.
They need to have another Super Bowl in the Rose Bowl. I don't know why we got away from that, but I mean, back in the day, they used to have Super Bowls in the Rose Bowl all the time, but they don't do it anymore.
Well, I think it was either the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum.
My bad.
No, because the Coliseum they actually had NFL, that's where the Raiders played it. So I don't, so I did want to ask you this because I knew we were talking about the schedule, but there was a tweet from the Dallas mayor last week. I don't know if you saw it or not, talking about how the city of Dallas deserves to have a second NFL team, because he said that Dallas is supposed to surpass Chicago, I think real soon or within the next few years, as the number three metropolitan area. I thought Dallas was number five, but I guess they moved up to number four. I thought it might have been Houston, but he says that they should have a second NFL team, like LA, like New York, and feels that they could house it. Now people say, well, what about Jerry Jones? And he said, well, I don't work for Jerry Jones, you know, and while Jerry Jones, he said Dallas needs to have an AFC team like LA and New York has those. So your thoughts on that?
Jerry Jones ain't letting that happen.
Well, no, but before, it ain't got nothing to do with Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones always cares about the bottom line. Because why you think he got those two teams in LA? Cause it's because of money.
Well, where are you going to put it? Are you going to share a stadium?
No. What they say, well, you got to remember, they're in Arlington, but he said they could have an NFL team in the southern part of Dallas. Now again, I don't
Houston
is vast,
but so. What people don't understand, like even for the Cowboys, right? A lot of Cowboys fans that go to the game at AT&T Stadium isn't from the city of Dallas. There's a lot of people, self included, that travel outside of Texas to go to the games. Like in the city, it really isn't Cowboys spirited. Like a lot.
But his thing is that the state of Texas is football god,
right?
And so if you have, again, it's not like you're competing against Dallas, because you're not. You have an AFC Dallas team you got an AFC that you're supporting, and you got an NFC team that you're just like, again, Rams and the Chargers. Now, the Chargers finally got a nice little fan base, because they had some fans out there at the game in December, and the Rams, you know, won the Super Bowl. So they got their own collective fan base. Plus, you can still be a fan of football, and and basically you got a game every week. You got a game because one, you're not gonna have those teams competing against each other at the same time. Or if they're going to compete on the same day, different time frames. One, Dallas, the Cowboys more likely going to be Sunday night or Monday night football game, where you could have a Dallas AFC game that's going on during the day. I don't foresee that happening, because it doesn't happen in L.A. or New York like that. They play on different days or whatever. But I think he's got a point to that, to where you could, because it can be sustainable. And again, it's not affecting Jerry's bottom line as it relates to the Cowboys, because that's what, you know, he's already got that market sewn up. But, you know, if the league is looking at expanding, you're talking about the bottom line for all other 32 owners, including Jerry Jones. So if it helps his bottom line and increases his value, I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
But it could split that fan base. that could be the out that a lot of Cowboys fans are waiting on to kind of go to another team in Dallas and support. So it makes sense. I see what you're saying, but I just don't see it happening. I honestly don't. I feel like Dallas, state of Texas, is pretty much, you know, Cowboys country. You have Houston, you know, but it is what it is. But I feel like for the most part in that state, in Dallas, it's just the star. It's the star, and that's it. So.
I mean, that's fine. That's just because you don't have enough competition. But, I mean, competition, you know.
You need a competition. You're America's team. So, it's like, you know.
Well, America's team needs to win, especially if you try to flex those little five rings. Yeah,
you flex them when you got them, man.
But those are the older rings.
You be wearing your little first one, don't you?
First of all, they won two Super Bowls.
Two, okay.
You know, they won in And actually, I remember correct, they won the Super Bowl before the Cowboys did.
Okay.
So let's keep that in mind. And they won one more recently than the Cowboys have. So, you know, and see, they have the newly new Super Bowl rings compared to that old school Johnston stuff. So let's not, you know.
Yeah, keep, you got a new one.
Yeah. But.
And we were that Dallas team, by the way, exactly. all the way back in the day.
Yeah, so see, Dallas, damn. See, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, be a student in history. Dallas, Texas.
I know. That's the loophole. Y'all are country cousins.
But look, the schedule's going to be released this week. I was curious, you know, because the Chiefs, the only game that's been announced before the international games was the Chiefs' home opener against Los Angeles Chargers, which is their Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Obviously, the Chiefs' first game now is going to be on the road. Mm-hmm. Those games will be announced this week on Thursday. I think there'll be one game per network that's going to drop. I think Good Morning America drops one tomorrow. I think ABC, ESPN, and then NBC, CBS. So before Thursday. Who do you think the Chiefs' first opponent is going to be? Because I was talking to someone from the Chiefs on yesterday, and I'm like, to me, it's got to be the Houston Texans, because just looking at the teams that they play, you could say perhaps the Colts, but I'm just thinking the Texans, Chiefs got to get an easy one because they're going to play, you know, even though they're playing the first Thursday night game, is technically not the first because the Super Bowl champions open up the week before, but they'll have like 10 days off or whatever, so the Chiefs will be the first team that plays on a Sunday and then come around. Chiefs and the Chargers, I apologize, going to be the first teams that play on Sunday and then come back and play on Thursday. So, to me, you got to try to give them an easy win to get prepared for that. And I don't see nothing easier than the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, because the Chargers is the first home game, I don't think the NFL is going to give the Chiefs two massive games out the gate. But, I mean, you look at it, you could see maybe the Colts, maybe the Texans, maybe a divisional game.
No. You're not going to put two back-to-back divisions, not to start the season off.
You don't think so?
No. No, you're not going to do that.
Because I'm trying to think. Because they did no, they split it. So probably Houston's, maybe the Colts, 49ers. You know, but for me personally, I say start off hot, man. Start off versus the Bengals.
No, here's the thing. The reason why you're not going to do it is you already gave the Chiefs a primetime game in their second game. You're not, again, the Bengals, I'll tell you that, the Bengals, the Bucks,
primetime,
the Broncos, and the Raiders, those are all, and Buffalo. Buffalo.
Right.
So you're looking, the Chiefs are going to have at least, well, the max they can get is, I think it's either five or six, and I think they kind of do five, so I think if they have to flex a game.
Right.
The Raiders is usually a night game, usually a Monday night or Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. I think it's usually Sunday Night Football when they go to Vegas. If there's a home game that's going to be a night game,
Cardinals?
No. Talking about home game.
Home game.
Well, you got the Chargers. There's no way that the Rams are going to be at home. There's no way that's going to be a Sunday afternoon. That's going to be Sunday night.
Right.
Or Monday. God, that's gonna be so.
That's what I'm saying. The Chiefs' schedule is stacked at home. So
it's.
But I just don't think that the NFL is gonna toss them a dud in Houston.
No, you got to. Yeah, no.
Opening week Chiefs and the Texans.
But again, but see, here's the thing.
Circling back around Thursday night.
Chiefs going to be a Sunday. It's going to be a noon game. You know, you get that game out the way, get them home so they can rest up. Because again, for Amazon Prime, the money they're paying, they're going to, you know, I mean, you've got to have to where these teams can. And it's not to take nothing away from the other. I mean, teams, you know, they've got to feel like they can get an easy win out the way, get things going so they can prepare, because they're going to put on a lot of pomp and circumstance for this first game, and they want this game to, you know, because it's going to be on Amazon Prime, they want it to create some type of massive type of buzz and stuff. So, but, man, just thinking about the night games, going to be the Rams. Man, they're going to have three night games at home. Chargers, Rams, Bills, off top. Mm-hmm. You could even do the Titans, but that's, you know, but Titans probably, but the Chiefs are going to have more late afternoon games like this, because they only had three noon games at home last year, so I could see late afternoon games. But the night games has got to be Buffalo because of the rematch. Got to be the Rams because they're Super Bowl contenders. Late afternoon games going to be Tennessee Titans. Raiders could be, and then of course you got the Chargers, so that's a night game. So I'm seeing three night games there. I'm seeing late afternoon games, and generally just because the division, it could be Broncos, Raiders, I don't know, Seahawks could be early, and Jaguars definitely going to be a noon game. Titans, I don't know. The away games, the Broncos, it's usually late afternoon game, but depending on when the schedule is, if the league decides that they want to make it a Saturday game like they did this past year, kind of screwed up schedule, but they did that. The Raiders, I still think that's going to be a night game just because it's Vegas Chiefs. Right. Chargers, Colts, Niners. Yeah, we know Tampa Bay is going to be a night game. So Bengals, because of the rematch, I don't know how they're going to do it now, because now with so many opponents and the Kansas City's got to have one of the hardest schedules. It's going to be a lot of late afternoon night games.
Right.
And I just don't, you know, the league, I think, mandates 5 or 6 as a max, but Thursday's going to be interesting.
I think they get around that max as well by scheduling those 3:25 games, and that's technically prime time.
By the time it ends, yeah.
But does that even count towards those 5 games to be at the 3:20 slot?
No, because it's the Chiefs.
Because that's prime time, essentially, because everyone's watching, and you might not even have a game
late afternoon games. Yeah, but man, I mean, but just because of the opponents, and because, you know, quarterback matchups, that's where a lot of the ratings come in. I mean, going up against Tom Brady, that's the reason why they didn't have that in Germany. So that's a night game, and they didn't want to give it their home. That's got to be Sunday Night Football. You know, I can't see it being the Monday, just because, and the Chiefs getting, you know, they're going to have the Thursday game out the way, so they'll be just doing weeklies after that. But I could see Tampa Bay Christmas. When is Christmas? Is Christmas on Sunday this year?
Christmas game is going to change a lot too.
Well, no, but see, the Christmas game, excuse me, the Christmas is only going to be 3 games. They're only going to have 3 games on, and that is on a Sunday. So they're going to have 1 game on CBS, 1 game on Fox, 1 game on NBC. And if
they
I know anything,
a splash.
Huh?
They're going to want to make a splash.
Well, that too, also they're competing against, because they're going to have most of the games on a Saturday, but they're like, because they had great success last year with the games on a Saturday, and then you had those games on Sundays. Now that the game's going to be on those Sundays, competing against the NBA, got to have those stars. So I could see a scenario where, yeah, if you got Chiefs, Bengals, and I think the Chiefs would actually be on the road on this one, but you get Chiefs, because the Chiefs played at home against Pittsburgh the day after. But if you got Chiefs, Bengals, Chiefs, Bucks, Thursday can't get here soon enough, bro. Because I was thinking about the money I was about to drop for Germany, and just drop it on Thursday get these plane tickets for these games, man. Because
I just don't see Houston, though. I just think that's too boring. That's just too boring for me.
First of all, you ain't gonna be at the game, and second of all, you don't care about the Chiefs in Houston that much anyway. So, you know, I ain't
But now, since I'm partnering with Darren Smith on the show, I gotta pay attention to the little Chiefs. What's going on in Kansas City?
Part is true, but seriously though, I mean, you're not thinking about us. You're thinking about your television partners, and so again, the Chiefs, Texans, it doesn't do anything, i.e., for us, so to speak, fans, but what you're doing. You're putting them on a 12, getting at it because, again, there's going to be a slate of afternoon games. And every network on the first week and last week, they all play doubleheaders. So it's not a matter of how it's going to do for the ratings. That's not going to be a Sunday night game. It's going to be a Sunday afternoon game, 12 o'clock, CBS. Get that out the way. Chiefs win. Patrick and them do some good numbers on the field. Now you can turn your focus on Thursday night, because once you get that out the way, now you know all only thing you're playing are Sunday and Monday games perhaps after that. So you get past that, because again you get 10 days off after that game. So that's why you give the Chiefs a kind of a cupcake for the first game. Let them go all out against the Chargers. Best team wins, and then you got 10 days before your next game. So that's why I think you give them a game like the Houston Texans. And again, I mean, you know, you could do it later on in the year, but what would it benefit you for?
Extra bye week.
That's the Jaguars. I said that's the Jaguars.
Yeah, but
though.
See, but the Jaguars, that's a home game.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is a bye week though, to play a terrible opponent at home. So it's almost like you don't travel and you win.
Yeah. See, look, the schedule release comes. Is there a particular matchup that, you know, when you look at either the Chiefs schedule or, you love the Cowboys, is there a particular matchup that you can't wait to see when it's going to be? Because I know, you know, the Cowboys always play Thanksgiving, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys going to have an interesting Thanksgiving because we got Tampa on our radar. Now, to be honest with you, the Cowboys' home games are boring. I think all the Cowboys have is the Bengals at home. And I think that's about it. So the interesting matchup, and I've been wanting for the opening game, would be Green Bay. I think Mike McCarthy's return to Green Bay, opening week, Sunday night football. That's what I would want to go for. But I also think that probably I can see Philadelphia as well, since they kind of reloaded their roster a little bit, that we could start off playing either Philly.
So the thing about the Cowboys don't have that many noon games. I mean, most of the games are always at 3:25 or
We don't do them noon games. So noon games, whenever you see a Cowboys playing a new game, go ahead and X them out because they ain't going to show up. So that's what happened last year versus the Broncos. You know, Canelo had that fight Saturday night.
The Broncos was a Thanksgiving game.
Broncos was noon.
Well, they still lost.
They came and got smacked, yeah. And then the Raiders was the Thanksgiving game.
I remember, I think that might have been the same day as the Chiefs Raiders game. That might have been
Cowboys don't do noon games. So those little
that was the
like
same
that.
Day. Yeah.
So I would like to see Mike McCarthy return to Green Bay opening game. But I think they're gonna stash that to later in the season though.
Hey man, first of all, the fact that the NFL has the stuff that we're sitting there talking about a freaking schedule release and just the, which we're gonna talk about this more obviously next week or whatever, but just the fact that they're doing this. Wow. I mean,
well, Twitter going to ruin it. You know, Twitter going to tell us on Tuesday probably everything, because everything always leaks out.
Well, no. The game said we'll start leaking out on that Thursday. Now, again, the networks will each reveal one particular game. And I don't know if it's opening game or the game or one of the games that they're doing throughout the season that they release. So that is something that the NFL has already announced that they're, you know, each network is going to do that. But they're going to do it on their morning shows, so like Fox and Friends, Good Morning America, and the other shows or whatever.
What do you think is going to be the opener versus the Rams?
Oh,
because I would have said Dallas originally, but they're not going to do it 2 years in a row. Cowboys did last year.
I don't know if it's. I don't think they play Cincinnati or Buffalo.
Let's see, I'm looking at their schedule.
Who are their home teams? Who are the home opponents?
49ers, Raiders. Bills and Cowboys, pretty much.
I could see
Panthers.
Yeah, but Buffalo, that's a
could be Cardinals maybe.
Could be Cardinals. You're not going to do a divisional.
Yeah.
I think it's Broncos. Could see Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson.
That makes sense.
That would make sense. But look, let's take a timeout, Jordan, because we need to pay some bills. Come back, talk to NBA players, because it is a pivotal day in the NBA with game 4 against some of these teams. Keep it locked into the ship with Darren Smith. We'll be back here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
you'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is up, upside down, and trade them for a package.
Welcome back to the show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Darren Smith in studio celebrating Mother's Day with all the ladies in this world, along with Jordan Tucker and Dylan Michaels. Jordan, we have got some NBA basketball. Of course, yesterday in the NBA, got a chance to see a couple of great games. I mean, look, if you're a fan of blowouts, you definitely got one Saturday night where, of course, the Golden State Warriors knocked off the Grizzlies 142-112, which is interesting because Steph Curry only had like 3 points at the end of the first quarter and then exploded for 27 the rest of the game. The Bucks had a big lead early in the game, held on to a win, 103-101. Probably should have been a three-point shot attempt that Al Horford should have gotten credit for, or I don't know if it was Al Horford. I think it was Marcus Smart that went up for a three-point shot that they didn't say was a three-pointer. But that being said, we've got games today. First game up, we got the Phoenix Suns. Dallas Mavericks coming on at 2:30 today. Suns lead the series 2-1. Mavericks being back home. It's interesting because teams always play so much better at home than they do on the road at times. I think the only team to really still won on the road has been Golden State thus far. Golden State along with Milwaukee. But be that as it may. No. Take that back. Milwaukee just won yesterday. But be that as it may, who you see winning this game, Phoenix and Dallas, and then, of course, the second game later on tonight, Miami and the Sixers, as Joel Embiid showed in game number 3, came back with 18 points and 11 rebounds, helping lead that team to victory.
Yeah, you know what they typically say, the series doesn't start until someone loses at home. So,
facts.
You know, I feel like when it comes to this Suns-Mavericks matchup, you're seeing a night and day team when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks, because finally someone else besides Luka Doncic sold up in game 3. So if that's the case, I feel like the Dallas Mavericks can beat the Phoenix Suns. But if I had to lean towards it, I feel like the Phoenix Suns, and you kind of heard Devin Booker and Chris Paul mention this, when you make Luka play on both ends, he's not as effective. So, you know, if I had to lean towards a team that's going to win today's matchup, I think I would lean towards Phoenix just because of their interior presence and also their guard play. I trust them a little bit more than I do Dallas, but I think this is going to be a tight matchup. But Dallas can definitely take this matchup here at American Airlines today and tighten the series up, which I think they should be able to push this series a little bit longer. I know when the series originally came out, a lot of people were saying that the Mavericks can get swept, you know, different things like that. But it's like, I feel like right now, if Luka continues to play that way he is, you get Jalen Bronson, you get Maxi Kleber, some of these other role guys that really step up, Spencer Dinwiddie.
See, he's getting involved, but they just got to hit the shots.
Yeah, hit the shots, you know, because Luka's going to find you. You got to make the open shots. So, you know, I think it's going to be a close series. I think this is going to go to 6, but I think I would give the nod to Phoenix today.
For me, I think it goes 7, and really just because I think the home teams just hold serve. Again, I was mistaken earlier, they did win a game. The Bucks did win a game, is what I thought. They did win a game in Boston because they're up 2-1. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think playing at home has a big deal. And the thing about the Mavericks, is that, yeah, Jason Kidd's a good coach, and he was coaching the year before, so he'll know he'll need to make adjustments because it was exploited. I mean, Luka was exploited in game number 2 when they were, they were abused. I mean, he hit him for like 23, 24 points in the first half of the game. And then the second game, you know, we're going to make you play some defense. And it took him out of it. But we saw what he was able to do in game number 3 and getting other players stepping up. Again, if other players are stepping up, then it makes it a little bit more competitive and it makes it easier and it makes it harder to go after Luka because, they might allow Luka to kind of lax off on defense so he can make sure his offense is on point. Now, if he's got an extended injury on both sides of the floor, that becomes a problem for Luka. Heat and 76ers, it's a big-ass difference when you got Joel Embiid in there because the Heat just didn't have no answer. And mind you now, he only had 18 points, but just his presence alone and being able to get on the glass and what he's able to do in that game, Friday night, his presence alone. Now, you also had James Harden come alive in that game on Friday, which was, you know, which was important, you know, for that team's victory. And so, and Maxey also had a good game, you know, and they won by 20. And I don't know if they win by 20 this time around, because I think, you know, teams do make adjustments. You know, it's hard to make an adjustment when you win. It's you know, when you get embarrassed or whatever. But I know Bam Adebayo has to show up. I know he had 5 fouls. He was in foul trouble. Kyle Lowry was 0-for in that game. Was, you know, Hero, you know, Tyler Hero didn't have a good shooting performance in that game. You know, but, you know, James Harden had 17 points, but you can't go 4 of 11, 1 for 7 from the three-point line. You've got to be able to do some other things. But, you know, he did have 8 rebounds and 6 assists. But James has to get in the 20s, and he has to get double digits, if not rebounds. Definitely he's got to get double digits and assists.
Yeah, and I think having Joel back, you know, even with the mask on, I think it impacts the Philadelphia 76ers and this series, because I just don't think that Miami – has a matchup that can match Joel Embiid, who I think should be the MVP this year. So, like we've been all waiting for, even kind of when we talked about KU this year, like, we know what's in James Harden. Like, it's going to be that one game where he's like, does it finally click and he reminds himself who he really is? Because it's there. You know, I just don't understand how can you have a drastic fall off from what you used to be, averaging a triple-double to averaging 16, 17 points. So maybe Embiid coming back will open up that for James Harden. And if he's able to get to the efficient level that he's used to being at, I think that the Sixers can definitely run away with this series, because I don't think the Miami Heat has the answers. But it's going to come down to Harden being more consistent.
We saw in last night's game John Morant go off again, 34 points. I know he kind of went down with a late knee injury, so to speak. But this is the first game in the matchup that wasn't a blowout. I know it's only the third game in the series, but 142-112. I mean, the Grizzlies could and should easily be up 2-1 or at least 2-0, you know, going into last night's game. And now they find themselves down 2-1, with game 4 being in Golden State on tomorrow night. The Warriors have shown, if they hit their shots, they were 53% from the three-point line. If they can hit their shots, I don't care if it's Phoenix or anybody else, they can win. Right. You know, and granted, they don't have, quote-unquote, the size, you know, the player size. I mean, Draymond Green wasn't really a factor. I mean, he just 8 assists, but he wasn't really a factor in the game, which is a good thing, because, you know, we talked about it before, like, you know, he lets his emotions get the best of him. But, you know, but if they're hitting the shots, and I tell people, man, if Andrew Wiggins could play like the way he threw down that dunk and caught a body Thursday night or earlier in the week, then, yes, I mean, Golden State will be a force in this playoff. I think Golden State wins this because they've already won a game on the road. I think they close it out in game 6. I think they go back up 3-1, because I don't know what's going to happen with John and his leg. You know, I know they say he's like the Wolverine, where he can heal, which that might happen. But I just think that playing at Golden State, it just hits a little differently, man. You know, those 3-point shots, when they start raining those down, it just, you know, and look, mind you now, Memphis was 16-43, but they shot so many, they just missed so many. They missed 27 threes versus 15. And so it hits differently. I just think that by them being able to steal a game like they did on the road early on, they can close it out and don't have to worry about going back to Memphis for a game 7. So
yeah, I think John Morant, he's one of the top players in the NBA, man. He's just phenomenal. I love watching the kid play. But I just think when it comes to, you know, the Warriors right now, they just been there. They seen it all. You know, they didn't face LeBron. They didn't, you know, face KD and OKC. Like, they didn't been through the gauntlet before, this team has. And what we really haven't seen yet is the Steph Curry eruption. When he finally erupts, what is that going to mean to this series? So I agree with you. I think that the Warriors are going to win this series. You know, I know there's kind of conversations about Ja Morant's knee and was it a dirty play here or there, but like,
yeah,
you said,
we were looking at it. We still can't find
it.
He tapped him on his knees.
I've been looking at it like from all different angles. Like, what is everyone talking about? So, you know, I just think like with Poole playing, as you said, Andrew Wiggins, you know,
coming off,
but it's just always been Wiggins, 30. Man. He's been hot and cold. If he can find some consistency, I don't see why the Warriors can't go all the way to the NBA Finals. It's there. You just got to put on a consistent basis. And I think eventually you're going to see that Steph Curry game, that Klay Thompson game, where it's like, okay, there they are. There goes the Splash Brothers, and They're gonna get on a roll.
And I'll be honest, you know, when you if you don't hold serve in your first two ball games, mm-hmm. to me it kind of digging, you're trying to dig yourself out of the hole. And I look at the Boston Milwaukee, because they are, I mean, they have the athleticism and they have the ability to shut down Giannis because you know we saw what they did. We saw what the Bucks did against Chicago when they went back to Chicago. I mean, it was like they just. I just didn't see that coming, especially mm-hmm. after the way Chicago won Game Two mm-hmm. in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee came back and just ran through them mm-hmm. Both of those games in Chicago. It's hard for me to see that if the Celtics do not come out and win Game Four tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That they don't get past six games. I mean, yeah. they might not get past five games because one, you got the defending world champions, and this was supposed to be the year, especially after the way they dismantled Brooklyn by sweeping them. This is supposed to be the year that they make that next step, where now you're going up against the defending champions, and they did a good job against them mm-hmm. in the opening game, but they've fallen apart since.
Yeah, and I feel like if they get up 3-1, Giannis is going to be a closer and close that series. So I think the Bucks is going to win this series. I just think that it's just too much for Celtics right now, even though they're putting up a fight. But
fight nonetheless might be a losing cause. Tuck, I know you're going to be out of town this week, man. Where can people find you out on social media, man?
Yeah, you can find me on all social media platforms at JTuck151. And, of course, my YouTube channel is CFO Sports. Are we talking NFL football? So stop by.
We might need to do some Thursday night for the NFL schedule release, man.
Let's do it.
You know, yeah, let's do something at Thursday night, because that's, you know, while we're doing that, we're probably going to be running up our debit credit card.
Right.
Oh, got to go to this game. That's the funny thing about it, because I always try to figure out, okay, what day am I going to – that's why I need to find out mm-hmm. when these games are going to be the times, because I need to coordinate, because, you know, right. be working and stuff and then flying back and – you know, most of the time I do try to take Southwest, but, you know, sometimes these connecting flights be a doozy. But, look, man, women out there, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mama, Mother's Day. All the ladies out there, we love you. Happy Mother's Day. Celebrate it. Be safe. Enjoy your time. And those whose mothers are in heaven, we keep you all in our prayers or whatever. But until next week, this is Darren Smith, Jordan Tucker, Neil Jones, my guy Dylan Michaels on the ones and twos. Want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Until next week, this is The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We out.